You got your Bible, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 21, book of Proverbs, chapter 21. We want to look at a verse here tonight that I believe applies in the business world, but I also believe it applies to education. And I was thinking, Lord, why did you have this laid upon my heart today concerning young people and their education when most of them are either done or almost done for the year? But it's something, hey, if you can remember 3 months, you can put in practice next fall. How does that sound? Because what we learn here tonight is applicable to that as well as to those in the workaday world. Chapter number 21, verse number 5, book of Proverbs says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness." I can even say it, plenteousness. "But of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Now notice there's a very key word there in both sections. Only. "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity we have to open the book of God and to gain and to learn from it. Father, we thank you so much for the practical things that you give us for day-to-day living, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Diligent, interesting word. It's characterized by a steady, earnest, energetic effort. It means one is busy. It means one is industrious. Hasty, on the other side, is somebody who is impatient, and they are constantly seeking shortcuts. Interesting thought. The diligent seeks to do everything that needs to be done in detail. The hasty seeks to go past whatever he thinks doesn't matter. Business, intellectual, financial success start in the head. Think about it for a moment. Because a diligent man is one who plans his career, plans his training, plans his life, gives it his effort, make sure that he can save towards it, schedules his time, and many other factors that he might accomplish some very wise goals, and he obtains success. A lazy man too, which I would call this hasty one, a lazy man, he's impatient to pursue success in the godly way, which is hard and intelligent effort. They can only think of shortcuts, and they end up cutting themselves short of success. School, by the way, is a place where a student is put under a set of standards that they may learn to give effort, schedule their time, and focus upon the goal of learning all that is given to them. The student who takes shortcuts ends up with bad grades. It's not that somebody is smarter than another. In almost every case, it's diligence. I have found through the years that the student who focuses and works quickly gets the better grade, because they're not daydreaming. They're not letting their mind wander. They're focused in on it. They're going for it. And they become good students. Good students become good businessmen. Good students become intellectual success. Good students learn financial success. This particular proverb compares business thinking, really. It contrasts here parallel clauses. Solomon often in his Proverbs uses these clauses to be compared or to be contrasted, that we might get the full lesson that he has for us. In the first clause of this, "the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness," it describes a diligent man who is getting rich. The second clause, which is "everyone that is hasty only to want," is a hasty man who's becoming poor. We are taught that a diligent man is patient in his thoughts and efforts, he will succeed. The lazy man, impatient in his thoughts and efforts, and he will fail. In that day, it was a very agricultural place or area. Much like Iowa was years ago, still Iowa was agricultural, but probably most of the people live within cities. And we go to the farm and we can find something very interesting there. And as he talks about this, he's putting it in a farm setting, really. A diligent man knows that plowing his field day after day will yield results. Bible says in Proverbs 12, verse 11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. In chapter 28, verse 19, he says, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Very similar verses that are teaching us a very important truth. You plant one kernel of corn, it will perhaps yield 800 kernels 6 months later. The farmer knows it's hard. He knows it's very boring and a thankless job in many regards. It's not one that's featured in infomercials. He knows that farmers don't often drive sports cars, unless you call tractor a sports car. They don't wear Rolex watches. But they take the capital that God gives us and they gives them and they invest it in more important things. Basically land and income-producing equipment. He knows that his savings is a precious investment. The seed corn for the next spring or the funds to buy a bigger tractor. Because he knows a very important truth, and you find that in the book of Proverbs as well. It says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. He knows that he must have tools, and he's going to take care of them. If a man will dedicate himself to a basic and necessary job or a business like farming, it can just as easily be considered a white, we can talk about white-collar profession or students. He has a foundation and a place for success. If he will faithfully outwork others at his job with the wisdom of Proverbs, looking for ways to work smarter than others, saving his paychecks and investing it conservatively, he will get what oftentimes we call get ahead. Proverbs 10, verse number 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. 22, verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. 27:18, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, but so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Ecclesiastes, which in some regards is a continuation of Proverbs, says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. We find really from the Word of God, we study these things in the book of Proverbs, even though it might be boring, even though it might be very difficult, success really is guaranteed. If we are the one who's wanting at the end, perhaps wanting a good grade, wanting a good paycheck or whatever it might be, he's describing the one who is not diligent. There's something interesting about a lazy man. He always has a better idea. He is so sure of his thoughts, he does not care about any reasons that are against them. Listen to this verse in Proverbs again. Chapter 26, verse 16. The sluggard, that's a lazy person, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. He doesn't like that boring hard work. He expects that he ought to have that sports car and that Rolex watch. For him, the curse word is perseverance. He wants a glamorous job. He wants big bucks for it without hard work. He doesn't want to get dirty. He would never be a grunt, if we use that term, like a farmer. He wants a short come to bring him the big bucks. He's planning on retiring in 10 years. You know the story. They don't get there. The world has options for the daydreaming sluggard. One of those is they will have marketing rallies. They will sing God Bless America. There'll be a flashy couple that get up and they describe their lot and how they their yacht and describe how they came upon that. But they cannot see that there were 10,000 poor souls in their downline that buy overpriced soap, if you please, every month. He's the guy that looks at the lottery and thinks, boy, if I could just get that, not realizing there are 10 million poor people that have paid into that out of their own finances. A lottery, by the way, is the only way in America we really tax the poor. Do you think about that? Yeah. Many of our peoples do not earn enough money to pay income tax, but they sure divvy up in lines as they're seeking after fortune. This lazy fella, he moves along the magazine counter looking for something better that might help him to get there quicker. He listens to some of the investment things and finds out that they are just a scam. He borrows money from different people that he might invest only to have it stolen from him in some kind of Ponzi scheme set up for smart guys like him. If this kind of person does not get their thoughts corrected, their covetousness and greed will tempt him to consider bribes, stealing, false business practices. They'll alter family wills or other types of wicked and foolish efforts that they might catch up to the faithful farmer. Again, who am I speaking to? I'm speaking to young people in school. I'm speaking to people who are on the job somewhere. God wants us to be diligent. Amen. Chapter 20, verse 21 says, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. A faithful man, chapter 20, 20 says, shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. 28, 22 says, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Those in that position ought to go to the farmer and ask him for a job. Maybe he could drive a tractor for a year, for a few years, saving his money and go out and buy his own tractor, rent out his services. But they want to do it the shortcut. Young people in school, don't take shortcuts. They hurt you. By the way, they become ingrained into you that when you get out of school, you then begin those same kind of practices in what I might just say the real world. And they don't work. King Solomon, he looked out and he observed. In chapter 24, read several verses, he analyzed the rich and the poor. And notice first of all what he says, I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Do you realize that a farmer who is not diligent won't be a farmer very long? Instead of producing the food, he'll be in the food line. Diligence is a tremendous character trait that we have. In other words, we find a job, we get at it, we give our all to it. He also, in his analyzation in chapter 27, said this. He said, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are for the price of the field. Thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, for the maintenance for thy maidens. God gives to you and I an ability to go out and work and be diligent. There's a verse I remember several years ago. It really got the attention of one of our young ladies. It's found in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider thy ways and be wise." Solomon even watched the ants. I remember when I was a little boy, I'd fixed myself a sandwich and I went out and sat on, I don't know what it was, something in the backyard. And I remember as I sat there, a couple of the crumbs from my sandwich fell down, and I hadn't noticed before, but I saw those little crumbs and they started to move. And so I was watching, there was ants grabbing those little crumbs and taking them to their hole. And so I decided to watch that a little bit more, and I, on purpose, dropped a few more. I made one of them especially large, thinking they won't be able to handle that one. But they did. Matter of fact, they got to the hole, and I think they jumped up and down on it to get it down through the hole. But they worked at it. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider ways, be wise." Now think about this. It goes on and says, "Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler." Well, there's not a teacher. There's not a foreman. There's not a CEO. Nobody like that. It says, "Having none of that, provideth her meat in the summer, gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." He watched the ants and saw something glorious. With God's wisdom and divine inspiration, he put his conclusions about economic success throughout the book of the Proverbs that he might benefit his son and his citizens. And it's up to us to begin to think like a wise man. The choice is really ours, prosperity or poverty. It's really ours. How much are we going to go after it? And by the way, when I say prosperity, I'm not talking about being a billionaire. I'm talking about you're in a spot where everything's taken care of. And it's just a neat spot. But I believe there's something that's even more important when we think about this term diligence. And that is to please God. Peter wrote that it required all diligence. Listen to what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He said, "Beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." He says, now give diligence in doing this. So he says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would add to this and say this. In a day when we have so many foolish heresies and ideas, eternal life by a hasty and manipulated emotional decision may be the worst thing of all. For salvation, there's no shortcuts to it. It's recognizing who we are and who we've sinned against and seeking his forgiveness. It's not just a time we say, "Oh Lord, save me. I called and therefore I'm saved." And I believe we miss something. Those who trust in that kind of vanity, I believe they'll be found wanting in the day of judgment. In the book of Matthew, he says, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. When we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, it changes things, does it not? And some just hasty, and they go through the motions. And what takes place? Not a real salvation. Every year at camp, there's somebody who finally really gets saved. What was the problem before? It was hasty. It wasn't diligent. And there was a false hope. Just as the businessman who's not diligent has a false hope, just as the student who will not put themselves to the task and be diligent will find themselves with poor grades. We find this in the spiritual world as well. Diligence. Giving it all we have. Not stopping short. Here's a problem, churches. We tend to whatever is done for God to do it lackluster rather than first class. How many have ever been to Pensacola Christian College? Many of you in this room. Were you impressed when you went there? There's no shacks there. Not any there. Everything they do is first class. You say, isn't that a waste of God's money? Well, is God first class or second? Can God afford first class? Yeah. Does it bring greater honor to him? Yeah. And so you look around, and a lot of people would say, well, that's a Taj Mahal. No, it's honoring God. And oh, there might be a few fancy things, but by and large, it's very, very practical. All has a purpose. And that ought to be the way our lives are. Amen? Diligent. Diligent. Interesting word. If you don't know the meaning of that one, I hope it gets into your crawl. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Chad, you got a thing tonight? All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can call upon you in a time of need. And Lord, we are certainly needy when it comes to this matter of diligence, so you might show us the way. And Lord, let us not be slack in reaching out for it. Bless in the moments to follow, for we pray in Jesus' name.